Hello there and welcome to the Spread in Essence Football Picks Podcast on Essence.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how you doing?
Doing well, Mike. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking. We are back to make our against spread picks for the three biggest games in the NFL weekly schedule this week. We are into week three. We'll also do locks and upsets. Then we'll talk to Sam Panayotovich, Nesson betting expert slash analyst. And then we will get on with our lives because we have other things we have to do in addition to make fantastic football picks.
Nothing more important than this, at least in the moment.
That's fair.
You got my full attention,
that's
Mike.
That's a good way to live life. So, yeah, week three. Looking back on week two real quick, you went 7-9. I went 6-10. Not feeling great. I just, like, 6-10 just feels 7-9, same neighborhood, probably on the same street. Like, it blows my mind that I ever do any better than that.
Yeah, what killed me was the second half of the day and into Monday. I think all seven of my wins were in the 1 o'clock windows.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm always there too. I don't know if that's...
I don't know what it is about the 4 o'clock games.
Yeah, maybe because they're better games, bigger teams.
Yeah, it's got to be something.
The lines are sharper. I don't know. Like, no, because it's the NFL. They're all sharp.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think, like...
I don't really have a theory on it.
Do you think we would do better if we did this, like, a super contest type of deal where we try to find five games and just go with it? Or do you think this is just going to all still even out anyway?
Probably still all even out.
Yeah, probably.
I think we... I mean, anybody wondering where we're getting the 7-9 and the 6-10, we do publish our picks column on Thursdays on Nesson.com, so check it out.
Fair point.
Yes. Even though we will do only the three games and a lock and upset here, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, some of those games, like, you know, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, yeah.
If
right.
I was, you know, if you asked me,
make
it a pick for the sake of making a pick.
But at the same time, then I would like probably not pick. I would not touch the right games, and it would just still even out.
Yeah, that's true. All
right, like, who am I? I don't know. Sam is much better at that than we are, and I'm jealous of people like sharp bettors, professional bettors. I mean, obviously, what a life that must be. But like, to be able to really dissect that, maybe I just don't have the time.
Well,
the patience. I don't.
Did
know.
Anything? Were you shocked by anything that happened in week two?
That's a good question, and I don't think so, because
I don't think I've been stunned by anything
felt like
this
a
season.
Relatively normal, not boring, but typical week two.
Like a lot of those games that, you know, we'll get into this with Sam, but like, you know, one or two plays sort of it just changed the complexion of, which, I mean, you could say that for most NFL games, I guess, but it felt like it was especially apparent this week where, you know, at the drop of a hat, something changed. And yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
like,
just,
and then if you look at the standings, like Arizona, LA, and San Francisco are all 2-0 in the West.
Yeah, there wasn't one.
Like everybody, like it's kind of played out exactly how.
Yeah, I don't know if I came away from week two looking at any game like, wow, I totally misread that. Like
I don't think there's been any team that we've had a little misread on.
It's just been, it's kind of been what you'd expect through 2 weeks of the season. Nothing. That even like, you know, there hasn't been that real breakout star from anybody that you didn't see coming. Like, it's
just really
been
selling the hell out of it.
So, I mean, maybe things will turn around here, but it's just been a mediocre 2 weeks.
Raiders and Broncos tied for the lead in the AFC West, while the ahead of the Chargers and the Chiefs might be like the only thing that even comes close to being.
But even at the same time, like, you know, we've seen the Raiders start hot before, and you know, it's my opinion of that division hasn't changed in the slightest. So,
and it's also week two. We're into week three. So, speaking of week three, let's get into it. Before we do, and you touched on this, and Nesson.com/odds for all of our picks every week. Those are up by some point on Thursday. Nesson.com/odds is where you can find all of Nesson.com's best betting content, whether it's from Sam or our own Sean McGuire, myself, many others. And, also, subscribe, rate, review. Tell a friend about this podcast. Wherever it is you listen to it, we'd really appreciate that. So,
and if you don't have friends, tell a stranger.
That's even better sometimes. Just go to the store and turn every model phone or whatever iPad onto this the show. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock game. We got a game that quarterback matchup that would have seemed a lot juicier 5 years ago. But you got the New Orleans Saints going on the road, coming off of their shellacking a loss. They were the ones on the wrong end of the shellacking last week against Carolina. They head to Foxborough to take on a Patriots team that dump truck the Jets. As it stands right now, this actually opened as a pick, is currently sitting at Patriots laying 3 total, depending on where you're looking. We are looking at DraftKings Sportsbook, as always, is at 41.5, but that's kind of hovering and moving around. So we're looking at another low-scoring game here, it seems. We're looking at a Patriots being favored in a spot here against a very well-coached team. Is that enough for you to take the Saints?
This is to our previous point about their not being really shocked by anything to this point. I think these two teams sort of fit in that basket. I think the Patriots have been pretty much what I expect them to be, sort of, you know, bringing along Mac Jones in a very conservative manner and leaning on that defense. While the Saints, you know, they're sort of that, we've seen the Jekyll and Hyde act that you'd expect from a Jameis Winston quarterback team. And I think that's a trend you'll probably see throughout the season. Like, there'll be some highs, but they're also going to be, on the other end of the spectrum, a lot of lows. I think you're going to get one of those again this week, traveling to Foxborough. I just think the Patriots are going to try to turn this game into, they're going to try to make it ugly. And being at home, you know, I trust their ability to pull out a game like that and ultimately cover. That Saints offensive performance against Carolina, I don't think you can expect that type of defensive dominance from New England, but I think that's sort of, you know, I think Carolina and New England are comparable in some regards when it comes to their defensive upside. So I think for the Patriots, you know, maybe this game's won along the defensive line. If they're able to put pressure on Jameis Winston like Carolina did, it's going to be another long day. I could see several turnovers. I mean, the one thing, I mean, you wonder if there is a little bit of a look ahead to next week against the Bucs, but I don't know. I trust that the Patriots will have everything in working order and be able to cover their spread.
Yeah, I'm with you. I take the Patriots here. For a big reason, the biggest reason being New England's defense. You know, the Patriots have just as many Patriots defensive drives have ended in a turnover as they have in touchdowns this year. And you know, a lot of that is the benefit of playing Zach Wilson last week, who just was eager to give up he was allergic to pigskin. But you know, Jameis, you look at him, he's got a negative completion percentage over expected, marginally, but I think if you looked at his numbers, they're very heavily weighted by that week one performance against the Packers. And even if you go back to that game, you know, a lot of Green Bay turnovers, advantageous field position for the Saints. And that's backed up by the fact that they just have 4.4 yards per play through 2 weeks. That's 30th in the league. That, you know, they just have not been a very explosive offense. They've struggled to move the ball when they haven't been given, you know, ideal field position. Last year, by the way, they were 5.7 yards per play. It was 13th in the league. So that's they're down a yard and a half almost. Very early, I know, but you know, to your point too about the pass rush, I think the Patriots are going to find ways to get home, and I think they're going to try to confuse Jameis Winston. I think a lot of that might be with the blitz. Only Trevor Lawrence has a worse passer rating through 2 weeks against the blitz than Jameis does. So, and again, New Orleans probably still without Marcus Davenport and Quan Alexander. So I think that there's a chance for the Patriots to run the ball here too. It just seems to kind of fit what the Patriots are right now. This seems to fit within their identity of what they've been trying to do through 2 weeks. And I mean, I guess it's possible Jameis goes nuts. It just doesn't feel like a great matchup for that offense.
It feels like a really bad match. Just a few things to put that Saints offensive performance into context too. 128 offensive yards against Carolina last week, which is the lowest they've put up under Sean Payton. 6 first downs, which is the same amount that the Broncos had when they didn't have a quarterback last season against New Orleans, interestingly enough. And I mentioned, you know, we both mentioned the defensive line and, you know, the ability to apply pressure to Winston, force him into mistakes. Carolina did that. He was pressured on 18 of his 28 dropbacks, which was the third highest pressure rate for any NFL team since 2009, according to ESPN. For comparison, Patrick Mahomes was pressured on 52% of his dropbacks in the Super Bowl, and we saw how much he was running for the hills. So kind of just speaks to what Winston was up against last week, and I don't expect a lot of that to change this week.
I agree. Yeah, it's just
also like, I mean, the lack of weapons is an issue. Like, yeah, I mean, if you're right. New Orleans, you're leaning on Alvin Kamara in that game, obviously. If Belichick does one thing well, yeah, it's taking away your biggest
at
asset.
This point, but it's true.
Yeah. So I just, this is going to be just way too much for Jameis Winston to have to compensate for in that game.
Looks like 73% of the tickets and the money are on the Patriots. A lot of money on the under so far. So that's
just going to say, we'll get into this with Sam, but I love the under in that.
That
as well.
Under opened at 45.5 and is just free falling. So not surprising. All right, let's go to 425 kick. This is actually, I think, my short-term memory is bad. Probably the game of the year so far, at least especially with the way that these two teams have played throughout the first 2 weeks of the season.
Sunday night was pretty good. That turned out to be pretty good.
That's fair. Good point. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But one. No, you're right. You could, looking ahead on paper,
this feels
this
like
is,
an NFC Championship preview. Get the Bucks, that of Tampa Bay, heading on the road, SoFi Stadium, take on the Rams. It's a 425 kick. Tampa completely blew out Atlanta last week. Then that game actually got weirdly close, and then like the blink of an eye, they were back up 20. Whereas LA, going on the road, escaped Indy with a win. A strong effort from the Colts just wasn't enough. The Rams, a better team there. This game, like I said, is in LA. Total is at 54.5, so we're expecting the antithesis of that Patriots-Saints game. Rams laying a point here. Is that up to 1.5 anywhere? I want to say maybe I saw it somewhere. I'm double-checking. This is not great. Looks like 1 across the board.
Always shop around. Nowhere into the great Sammy P.
That was a good point. Actually, I might have to double check.
I would expect that number to swing in the other direction.
It looks like it might have already have. Well, I'm sorry, but this is late breaking developments. I just want to make sure we got this right because this could. Well,
yeah,
not.
No, I think I'm sort of approaching this as a pick 'em. I think that's ultimately where it probably settles.
Who do you got here?
Real quick on that. That Falcons game, the Bucs Falcons this past week. That was one where, I think you took Tampa. I took Atlanta just blindly taking the points in the hopes that an early season divisional game, they'd somehow figure out a way to cover. And I was feeling pretty good about that at one point on Sunday. And like you said, the two pick sixes by the same guy in a span of 3 minutes?
Was that a late game or an early game?
That was a late game, I believe.
So I thought, I think I was like making dinner, and I turned around, and all of a sudden it was like 22 points again.
That was actually a really good 4 o'clock window this past week.
Great.
Between that, the Cardinals Vikings game was exciting.
Those games were all good, yeah.
Chargers Cowboys was good. That was a good. Oh, Titans Seahawks.
Bucks laying a point now.
Okay. Well, that's not going to change my pick. I like the over in this game a lot. You mentioned how that's going up. I think this game has shootout potential. But I'm going to take the Bucks. A part of it is just, I mean, the fact that when this opened, I was getting a point or a point and a half was a nice little gesture. I don't know. It's easy to point to Brady's performance against the Rams last season, which, I mean, by all accounts was probably one of his worst performances of the year.
Not good. Yeah.
It was, I mean, if it wasn't the worst, it was certainly among the, you know, his worst two or three. I just look at a few of the numbers. Lowest completion percentage of any game last year, lowest yards per attempt, second lowest QB rating, threw two picks, only 216 passing yards. So that, I mean, obviously that gave me reason for pause. I also think that just in general, the Rams have the defensive personnel to cause some problems for Tampa Bay. But I don't know. The Rams defense, I mean, we are dealing with some turnover there with regards to, you know, it's their third defensive coordinator in three seasons with Raheem Morris there. So I look at what Brady did against Atlanta last year when Raheem Morris was there, and obviously much, much different personnel. So it's kind of apples to oranges. But Brady had a lot of success against the Falcons. So I don't know. Maybe the reality is that this defense falls somewhere in the middle of those two teams. In which case, I think the Bucks at the point that they're at offensively will be able to move the ball a little bit. I think the Rams are going to do the same. So this is sort of speaks to the over and the shootout potential there. But I think I like the Bucks' ability to close this out. Like, I think this is going to come down to the end, trading shots, maybe another situation where it comes down to the final possession and Brady leads them on another drive in the final 2 minutes or something. But if this is a team that we've seen it time and time again, dating back to last season, obviously. So I'll roll with the Bucks in this one. But this is tough.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams, and as I think about it, like, taking Stafford over Brady in a pick'em doesn't feel great. But I look at what he's been able to do so far this year. I mean, it's gone exactly as planned. Like, they've unlocked an even better
version good.
Of Matt Stafford.
That's the thing, is I think they're fine offensively. I guess my concern is the defense. And I don't even know if it's a concern. Like, it's not like a long-term concern. I think they'll be all right. I think there's enough talent on that side of the ball. But, I mean, I think they're a little soft in the middle at the second level. So maybe you might look at like a Gronk prop bet for this one. I don't know what the particulars are of that, but that might be something to throw a little coin on. But yeah, I don't know. Even that game against Chicago, like, Chicago moved the ball on them a little bit.
Yeah, they did. And I mean, I think they're still coming around, though. And I just, for me, though, it comes down to the offense, though. I just think they're going to score more points than, no kidding.
Yeah. that is the main ingredient.
The name of the game. But I look at, like, Tampa Bay, very aggressive defense. They've blitzed more than anyone else in the NFL this year. Stafford, pretty good against the blitz so far. 15 dropbacks, 11 of 14, 145 yards, 110 passer ratings, 8 first downs. So he's made teams pay when they've tried to bring the extra bodies. I like what they did last year. I was going back and looking at some reviews of what they were able to do against the Bucks, and it's to the surprise of no one, Sean McVay with creative route designs and route trees and things like that, finding guys, getting guys open in space, and Goff was able to take advantage of it. Now you have that element plus the deep ball element here from Stafford, who's, as we saw, especially in week 1, can turn it loose. I think this is a game where, there's more at stake, or it's a bigger statement game for Los Angeles too. I think they're going to come out wanting to kind of solidify themselves as like the new version of the Rams, playing at home against the defending Super Bowl champions. They have playmakers on defense too. Maybe the defense hasn't looked the way they might hope it would, but you still got Aaron Donald, you still got Jalen Ramsey. Like, if Donald has a big game, if he plays the way he's capable of, you're generating pressure up the middle, which is Brady's the only thing resembling kryptonite for Brady. So, I don't know. I just think this just feels like a Rams win. If the Rams don't win this one, look out, because the Bucks might go undefeated.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the Bucks schedule and trying to like circle a few losses on there. And this stands out as the biggest potential loss. I'm looking because maybe they trip up somewhere like late in the season against Carolina, if that defense holds up, or like Thursday night on the road against Philly. They're able to get it together offensively. But like this is the one. This is the one you have circled on your calendar. I agree with you about I think they're gonna be able to move the ball. I mean, even looking back last year, just real quick, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Kupp had who went off last week.
Yeah.
11 catches, 145 yards against the Bucks last year. Woods, 12 catches, 130 yards and a touchdown against the Bucks. So this is a Tampa team that gives up some yards after the catch, so there's certainly the potential there for some offensive fireworks.
I was doing a little more digging this last thing, and it speaks to the Bucks. LA also blitzes a ton. They're one of the top blitzing teams. Brady, the 93 Pro Football Focus grade against the blitz, leads the NFL. He also has the highest PFF grade when not blitz. Pretty good.
So
he's playing like maybe as good as he's played in his entire career.
Yeah, it's one of his touchdown passes on Sunday too, where the one where he kind of like flicked the, like he, there was a sidearm, there's a little Mahomes to it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, yeah, okay, now we're going to start doing this. Yeah. And, you know, all the power to him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, what can you do at this point?
I think that's ultimately what it came down to for me in this game is like, to your initial point of just like, because my initial lean, I think, was the Rams. And then the more I started to look into it, and the more I was like, am I just overthinking this? I mean, as good as Brady has looked and as good as that Bucs team has looked, like, and you're going to tell me that at least at the beginning that I was getting a point or a point and a half. I'm like, all right, if I lose that, I can live with that. Whereas if I take the Rams and I lose it that way, like, I probably should have seen that coming.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to go undefeated, and this feels like as good of any spot.
That's fair.
To lose. So, all right, Sunday Night Football. Packers coming off of their win Monday night against Detroit. Head on the road, take on a San Francisco team that is back home after two road games to open the season, if I'm not mistaken, including a win over the Eagles in week two, with a very low-scoring game. You've got the total set at 48.5 here, and the 49ers are 4-point favorites for this one, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. This is a interesting matchup, especially a lot of injuries right now for San Francisco. Once again, we talked about this last week, and then they ended up losing three more running backs this week. Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind as we break this one down. But who do you got?
Does it matter who's running the football? I know where you're leaning with this.
Doesn't feel like it, but
whatever. So if I can give you the handoff and.
Yeah, I'm taking the 49ers. I think at some point the injuries do catch up to you, but like they've got their main, you know, I don't want to poo-poo any of these running backs who got hurt, but like it is a very much a system-based offense.
Yeah.
You've seen guys you've never heard of run wild on various defenses. I'm more than willing to lay the points here. I think if you look at Green Bay on Monday night against Detroit, complete rock fight for the first half. And like they imposed their will to a certain extent in the second half. I think they outscored the Lions 21-0. But to me, it didn't look overly impressive. It felt like a lot of
Detroit just folded in that.
Yeah,
game.
I don't want to sound like Harry Hot Take either, but like there feels like there's some friction when it comes to play calling with Rodgers too. Like it just felt like some stat padding there late in that game. So that's something to keep in mind. But for me, it comes down to the defense. The Packers defense just isn't very good. They pitched a shutout in the second half, but I can't get over what Kyle Shanahan and his offensive staff have been able to do to the Packers. The 49ers are averaging 30 points per game in the last three meetings against Green Bay. They just pants them. They make them look absolutely clueless. The Packers, in my opinion, are not very good up the middle either, save for Kenny Clark. But if you can take him out of the game, then you're good. Cause like, good luck trying to stop them with the linebackers that they have. The 49ers, they've been very careful with the ball. Garoppolo has done a nice job. They have one turnover through two games. The Packers, I don't think, have maybe forced one turnover, and it was the Goff fumble on Monday night, like a fumbled snap, so it's not like the Packers did anything for that. Packers allowing 5 yards per carry, seventh worst in the NFL, 4.8. I don't want to discredit that too much. And I still have questions about the Packers' offensive line, so there's just a lot of things here that feel like you're going against the Green Bay. Not to mention, I wonder the whole like Trey Lance not playing really at all. I don't think he took a snap.
No,
he
didn't. Yeah.
I wonder if there's something coming this Sunday with that feels like a guy the Packers would be completely bamboozled by. So maybe that's keeping the Ferrari in the garage one extra week to bring him out again.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that this Jimmy Garoppolo might be playing for his job this weekend. Like I think that's
true, because like I'm sitting here with all this confidence in the world, and they scored what 17 points.
17 points, so. And I mean, at some point the injuries have to catch. And I'm not as concerned about the running back situation as I am about that secondary and some of what they're dealing with. And
I think they're going to be down and off a lineman too, so that defense is banged up.
So
defensive lineman,
which is kind of a continuation of last year. Obviously,
yeah.
We talked about this before of how just guys just seem to, suffer injuries out of nowhere in the Bay Area. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that secondary, and I mean, Philly wasn't able to expose that. I don't know what the Eagles are doing offensively. It seems like they're trying to find a little bit of an identity. After that week one, they look like they sort of had it. They were onto something there, like Jalen Hurts getting the ball out quick, just sort of keeping that pace. And then they just sort of changed course against San Francisco, which, look, San Francisco has a ton of talent on that side of the ball. So maybe they're forced into it a little bit, but I don't know. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, so I'm going to take the Packers. I think that, you know, there are some issues in the middle of that defense. I don't know if the lack of pass rush is going to matter all that much, because I think that the 49ers just try to get rid of the ball as quickly as they can anyways. And I do think that they're, I don't know, I think that the running back injuries are, I certainly would not pick a game based on you know, their running back room, because like you said, there is such a track record of them just sort of scheming guys, you know, towards success. But I don't know. I think that there's going to be a little bit of regression there. And I think, long story short, I trust the Packers' offense's ability to expose San Francisco's defensive shortcomings more than I trust the 49ers' offense's ability to expose Green Bay's defensive shortcomings.
Yeah, maybe. It doesn't look right, even when it's going well. And I know it's only two games, so there are new pieces on both the offense and defense for Green Bay. I just think this is 3 weeks in. I'm not sure if it gets right. Maybe if they played this game week 15, it'd be a different story.
These two teams are it's still a lot of figuring out going on.
Yeah,
what the ceiling is for these two teams.
It could be a playoff preview. It could be two teams that don't make the playoffs.
Exactly. Like our previous matchup, like, I feel a lot better about both the Bucs and the Rams right now than I do these two teams. But I mean, theoretically, these could be the final four teams in the NFC when we get to the end of the year.
True.
Like, I mean, that would probably be my pick right now. But like you said, things could go off the rails for either one of these teams. So
fairly easily too. So, all right, let's do our locks and upsets before we get to Sam. Who'd you lock this week?
Lock, I'm gonna take the Browns. 7.5 point favorites at home over the Bears. Bears making this pick not knowing what their quarterback situation is gonna be like. Sounds like it's probably gonna be Fields.
That's what I was gonna say, yeah.
I mean, it's trending towards Justin Fields making his first NFL start. On the road in Cleveland against a defense that hasn't looked good, but I even said this in our preview episode. I thought it was going to take some time for them to gel a little bit, just given the amount of turnover. Like, I think the talent's there. I think they'll be fine in the long run. And the Browns offensively, you know, with that running game, that offensive line, they can smack you in the mouth a little bit in a way that Cincinnati couldn't last week. So I'll lay the points there. I'll take Cleveland. Just kind of expecting the growing pains in the rookie QB.
That's fair. My lock, I got Seattle on the run. I got a road favorite as my lock. Dicey proposition. I'm starting to buy into the narrative that the Seahawks are a much better bet on the road than they are at home, for starters. I think they're in a get right spot here, bounce back spot against Minnesota. They're laying two on the road, so that, like I said, a little dicey. But I look at Minnesota's pass rush. Their win rate, 29th in the NFL. Their pass block win rate, 22nd. Win rate against the run, 31st. So not a lot of success in the trenches there. And Seattle's been very good, actually, at rushing the passer so far this year. So I think there might be some issues for Minnesota there. Maybe they can establish a run. They've been better at just, you know, getting that going. But Seattle's defense, 7th in win rate against the run as well. So this just feels like a kind of a tough matchup for Minnesota. Also, Vikings, I don't know if you put much stock in this. This is a question that we'll have to earmark for Sam at some point. I think I know his answer, whether these matter at all. But Vikings, 0-5 in the last 5 against the NFC West, and 1-6 in the last 7 within the conference. So they've struggled against my assessment would be that the NFC is the superior conference. The NFC West has been pretty good. So that tells me they're not very good against good to okay teams or okay to good teams.
That's a good point you brought up at the beginning about the Seahawks. Because I kind of feel the same way about them, that they're undervalued on the road and overvalued at home.
Yeah, because like, even if you go back to week one, I still found myself being like, you know, them going on the road, that's against Indy. Even though the matchups, I remember even looking at the matchups and be like, I think they can get, you know, they might have some chances to generate some pass rush here. And maybe
and I think with that, and it all kind of comes back to the quarterback and coach thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I trust their ability to be ready on the road, yep, for lack of a
right.
better way of putting it. Like, I don't feel like they'll ever be overwhelmed by the moment. And if they lose, it's ultimately because they're just overmatched from a personnel standpoint.
Another interesting narrative here is you've got a team that's 1-1 coming off of a loss, trying to keep pace and maybe the best division in the NFL. And you have an 0-2 team that their season might be done with a loss. So I am swimming upstream, I think, a little bit in the narrative game there, where if you're ever going to get a good effort from the Vikings, it should be this weekend. But I don't know if I'm going to get that, to be honest with you.
Listen, so we have to make a list of things we have to address at some point this season with Sam.
Stupid stuff.
Because the home road splits thing is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe once we get a little more data on all
these teams.
We need
some more data.
Yeah. This was still, still
data, guys. All right.
Big data, guys.
Upset.
I like Washington over Buffalo.
I like that one too.
Washington. Sam liked that one too, right? Yeah. So I won't waste too much time on this because I'm sure we'll talk about it.
The number.
Washington getting 8 points is last I checked. Washington plus 320 on the money line. I mean, obviously the perception here is going to be that Buffalo's got it all figured out after that 35-0 win over Miami. But I mean,
defense
that
is good though. That's the only.
The defense is good. Here's a quick tidbit from The Athletic. It was only the 12th time in the past 10 seasons, which is 453 games, that a team scored 35-plus points on offense while producing a negative offensive EPA. So,
it's a good stat.
Yeah. So, you know, that offense wasn't as good as that final score would seem to indicate.
There's some questions about Josh Allen. And they play good defenses, and they've got another defense that's good coming in this week.
Got a real good defense coming in. Washington's second-highest blitz rate. Highest pressure rate of any team in the NFL through 2 weeks. That just seems like an area where they could fluster Josh Allen a little bit. The thing with Josh Allen is that like his floor opens the door for an upset. Like there's some quarterbacks that even if they're not performing at their peak level, that they can do enough to get by. With him, I feel like if he falls flat, then that Buffalo's entire operation could go out the window.
Yeah, and we saw, what, 2 weeks ago, Pittsburgh, good effort against Buffalo.
Seems like a very similar matchup.
And I was just going to say, it wasn't Washington that knocked off Pittsburgh last
year
and they're undefeated? Feels like a similar situation here.
You maybe get like a, you know, you score six on defense. Maybe you get a block punt and a little deja vu from that Pittsburgh game. It seems
it could be a frustrating day for the Bills. They might win it. But
it's a lot of points. I think Washington's going to win outright.
You should do a little money line parlay with Washington and Green Bay.
There you go. Now you're speaking my language.
For my upset, I will take the Atlanta Falcons getting 3 points on the road in the Meadowlands against the Giants. Don't have a whole lot to back this one up other than the Giants stink. Their defense especially
is good enough for me.
They're not very well coached, and I guess you could say the same about the Falcons, but it really comes down to New York's defense, and I'm not entirely sold on the Daniel Jones I saw last week. Is the Daniel Jones I'm going to get him this week. Again, you could say the same thing about Matt Ryan coming off a game in which he threw two pick sixes. But I just look at they have some legitimate offensive talent at the very least that if Arthur Smith can get his head out of his rectum for a couple days, could probably build a fairly suitable game plan to keep that close. And they probably win it outright. It's just, I don't know. I'm not ready to say the Giants are ready to put together two wins in a row and look, or I guess they didn't win that game even, but two good games in a row even.
That seemed that was sort of a...
They find ways to lose.
Yeah, that game against Washington, that seemed very much a matter of circumstance and early season divisional game, Thursday night.
Should have seen that one coming. Those are ones that I always feel like such an idiot for not
seeing. See, the thing about that is like it's tough because... From an on-field standpoint, this goes back to our initial conversation from week one. Like, from an on-field standpoint, you looked at that matchup last week and you were like, there's no reason why Washington should lose that this game should really be close. And then next thing you know, it's just, then you look at the number and then
I feel the same
Thursday
way about
night divisional.
Thursday this week, too.
Yeah, what do we got? Houston and Jacksonville this week?
No.
No, Carolina. Carolina
and Houston.
Yeah.
Let's not
waste any time on that. But point taken.
It just feels obvious. It probably won't be. The spread's a little bit. I think it's like 8. But yeah, to your point. That's why I feel like an idiot already for that 49ers pick, because it seems too obvious. Nothing's ever obvious.
No.
Get into this with Sam, too.
Yeah.
It's a weird league.
So. Very much.
All right. Next up, that's some betting analyst Sam Paniadovich to give us a quick run through of week 3. So let's kick it to us and Sam. All righty. Now it's that time of week in which we welcome in Nesson betting analyst Sam Paniadovich, star of the Chicken Dinner podcast and the Nesson Super Contest team, of which I am a part. And we went 3-2 this week, Sam. So life is good enough, I suppose.
I wish people could see our text thread.
Oh my God.
On Sunday. We go from high to low to lower to high.
I mean, there's a point at like 1:30 on this past Sunday. I was like, we're going 5-0. It's like no doubt in my mind. And then that's just a really terrible way to live life when you're dealing with betting on the NFL.
Ricky, have you noticed this? We were talking about this via text. I hate to exclude you, so I'll include you now.
Oh, please.
These games literally swing on 2 plays, all of them.
Yeah, and in talking to Mike on Monday, I could sense the angst that was coming out of both of your Super Contest picks.
Well, we were a little...
I think officiating was...
A little pissed off at some officiating.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Game? Every game?
The Seattle game was especially tough. The Julio... and then we ended up winning that game anyway, so...
They were literally up early. Then they were down 14. We're getting 5.5. They're down 7, then they're tied, but then Russell Wilson gets the ball with a chance to do what Russell Wilson does, which is essentially spin around in a circle and throw a 60-yard pass to an open receiver. You're never in the clear with most of these games. Now, there was a couple last week. Carolina was easy against New Orleans. That was a no-doubter. Chicago should have been a no-doubter. They're up 20-3. Bengals get 2 touchdowns in the final 6 minutes, so... These games swing on a play or two. It's never easy.
Again, for like the third time this year, it's like, well, we're just wasting our time then, it feels like. But like there's so, why don't we just try to get rich on like, I don't know. There has to be, it's so sharp.
Put our brain power towards something
it's just
more
like
efficient.
Everybody's betting.
We control our outcomes a little bit more.
You got no chance. But, now that we've gotten that defeatist mentality out of the
and
way.
We won! We went 3-2. Yeah, we're still ready to jump out the window.
And Mike, you and I had this conversation last week about when it comes to the Super Contest. I think if you string together your 3-2 weeks and stay afloat, that's right there.
I did the math last night. So we went 2-2
and
one.
Can't bottom out.
We went 2-2-1 the first week, 3-2 this week. So we're averaging like 2.75 points per week. Extrapolate that over 17-week season. Obviously, it's up to 18 now. We would have finished like just outside the money with like that pace. So, or maybe we would have been in it even. So like, it's really not that hard. Like you don't have to go, you don't have to hit 80%, but like they say all the time, what is like 55% is this, solid. So,
there was a year when the 70% clip wasn't good enough because the winner went 73%.
That is. Yeah. So that's the thing. It is possible to do that that's kind of, there is some skill to that, but that evens out over the course of the
game. Don't we just go 5-0 this week?
If we go 5-0 this week, we're sitting pretty. We have no chance of winning the mini contest, though, right?
No, not yet. Chance. I'm not going to dwell on that, though. I want to get excited.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Ricky's Giants are a 3-point favorite this week.
My Giants, though. My G-men?
Last week in the office, he's like, G-men. Because they cover, even though they missed the chance to win. But the Giants are laying 3 to the Falcons. I don't want to lay points with the Giants ever.
No. So this is already a conversation that Ricky and I have had. Just Ricky doesn't know it yet.
What's that?
I may have taken the Giants or the Falcons as my upset this week.
Okay.
So we're previewing a conversation that has already been taking place on the podcast. So, that one jumped out to me. What are we looking for this week, Sam? I guess let's actually talk about what you're here for.
Well, that's my thing. Is like, so week one's sort of a crapshoot. Week two is overreaction week. What's week 3?
It could be a little bit of both. I saw this stat from Adam Chernoff, who's a very good bettor, he talks about, and I call this the accordion because you take one side and you stretch it all the way to the left. You take the other side and go all the way to the right. And what I mean by saying that is you have five teams that are 2-0 against the number, and you've got five teams that are 0-2. So it gets more expensive to bet the 2-0s and more enticing to bet the 0-2s. But Mike and I have already bet the Jets. We want no part of that. I was banging the Jacksonville drum last week, and I don't want to go back to that. But I think you can take a couple of these teams. The Las Vegas Raiders were underdogs in two games, right? Week one, week two. They win both games. They're 2-0. And now they have been bet up against the Dolphins from 1 to 3.5 or 4. By the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this line might get to 5. I don't think Miami's worse without Tua. Like, Miami played a really tough opponent in Buffalo that had to win that game. Tua goes out, they get shell-shocked, but if Brissett has a full week to prepare, that game's a pick-em. Why are the Raiders laying 3.5, 4 in that spot? I just don't get it. I'll be anti-Las Vegas this week.
So that's actually, this is the first week I felt relatively confident looking at stats. Like, I was looking at the EPA stuff. I was looking at, even then though, it's the, I like the EPA, like, but time of possession, turnovers, that still feels a little sketchy because, like, what did the Bucks turn it over 4 times in week one? So, like, that's a little misleading. But I do look at that when, to your point, it's like Buffalo, pretty good defense. Vegas hasn't looked great despite their win. So, like, is it completely off base to be like, now we're starting to understand what these teams might be?
I think so. And the total in that game crashing down, open 48 down to 45, and that's a Dolphins move. You follow with that? If it's a Raiders move, it's going up because the Raiders don't play any defense for the most part. If this is a Raiders total, it's going up from 48 to 51. It's coming down 48 to 45, and that's because the Dolphins do a pretty good job of stopping tight ends. Well, hello, Waller. So if you can remove Waller from that equation, I think that's a really good bet. You're laying that many points with Las Vegas because of what they've done. You know, the Monday night win against Baltimore. Baltimore beat Kansas City. Wow, the Raiders might be really good. They might not be. And if the Raiders win by a field goal, we're going to cover. That's going to be a game where it's going to be hard to move the ball against Miami. And if they can get anything out of the quarterback position, Miami is a dog, made a lot of people a lot of money last year. You get them 4 points on the road, I think that's a good side. The other team that I'm really interested in is Washington. I mean, Washington's been in these games, and now they're catching 9 against Buffalo on the road, and Buffalo just won, what, 30-0? Yeah. It's like you can't react to the previous week. Like, Buffalo also lost the week before to Pittsburgh, who I think stinks. So we're doing the transitive property here, but we only have 2 weeks to play with, and that's why it gets confusing. But I still want to fade what I saw the previous week because in this league, it's a freaking roller coaster.
Not to mention Josh Allen has not looked overly competent against good defenses. And then theoretically, Washington should have a good defense.
And Washington goes from a, 3.5, 4-point favorite to a 9-point underdog in 1 week.
The number's very high.
That's a massive shift. If you're just talking about where we were last week to where we are this week, that's a 12-point shift in the number. That's a lot. That's a lot. But again, you're betting on the football team. And you need Taylor Heineke or God knows who to make it work.
Yeah,
He's looked good.
You also have that defensive front chasing around Josh Allen. Sweat and Payne and Chase Young.
I was talking to him. Yeah, that's not bad.
Who do you like, Mike? Are we on San Francisco together?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this already on the show. I think there's nothing recently with San Francisco that makes me think with San Francisco and Green Bay, that makes me think the Packers are going to be able to stop that. And I think that is actually one of the bigger picture things is like scheme, coaching, like that kind of feels fairly consistent. And that is something you can kind of lean on where it's like, I have a lot more confidence that Shanahan's going to be able to scheme up something against whoever is running that Green Bay defense, whether it was Pettin or Joe Barry or even Dom Capers. Like, I think that's something I'm guessing correct me if I'm wrong, that you can lean on early in the season when it's like, I have a pretty good idea of what this coach is going to do or what this coaching staff is going to do.
Well, and I saw something the other day that they've got, they drafted press corners, but they're playing zone. Like the
Packers?
Yeah, the peg zone the scheme.
They draft like Eric Stokes out of Georgia with the first round pick, and like he can't even get on the field. And they're playing like 5 yards of soft coverage. It makes no sense. But like even then, and they're vulnerable in the middle too. So like that's the other thing, personnel wise, is like they don't have a great run stopping linebacker. And like even a 49ers team that is decimated as they are with injuries, the running back position, like I don't know, Ricky could go out there and probably run for 120 if you put him in the right spot.
And here's the other thing to remember 90. When you think about Sunday Night Football, what is the average bettor going to think on Sunday night after they've probably lost all day Sunday? They're going to look up at the board and go, "Wow, I could take points with Aaron Rodgers tonight." Yeah.
Who just, you know, they throttled, or at least the final score looks good against the Lions. You know, that game is not that close.
That's going to be a game where the books are going to need the favorite, a rare spot where the books are going to need the home favorite on Sunday night, because all of the parlay money is going to be on Packers money line. All the spread bets are going to be on the Packers. And all the teasers are going to be on the Packers. They're going to tease the Packers from 3.5 to 9.5. That's going to be a game where, uncharacteristically, the books will need the favorite to win in prime time. That doesn't happen all the time.
Sir, you got anything, Ricky?
Well, to your point about the transitive property, you know, doing our math.
I forgot my calculator.
I like that we're still in the point in the season where we can remember who played who in week one and week two. Then you get where you get a few weeks in, it's like, wait, who did they play in week two? Oh, yeah, that's right. Then you really start overthinking it, I think, when it comes to that whole thing. But
yeah, I think when we get to
figuring out identities now,
week five or week six, it becomes more about the whole picture and less about the last week or the game 2 weeks ago. Just one more game I wanted to bring up here. I know you guys have touched on it, but New Orleans and New England, it is two dead unders now for the Patriots. The total in week one was 43.5. Final was 17-16. Week two, the total's 43, and what is it, 25-6? We're already seeing some 41.5s in the market for Saints and Patriots. Bill clearly wants his quarterback to take no chances. They run inside the red zone, which usually leads to a field goal opportunity. And Winston, erratic as ever, that's Bill's favorite, an erratic quarterback who's going to make a mistake or two or three or four or five or six. I wouldn't go over that game with your money. 41.5 down from 43 on the open. These Patriot unders, Matt Chatham talked about this 2 weeks ago. This is a dead under team until further notice, until they unleash their quarterback inside the red zone.
Yeah, they can't do anything in the red zone. It's yucky.
Would you bet the over in that one?
No, 100% not. I think if you look at those four games those two teams have been in, 41 is the highest total of between the two teams, and that's by a fairly wide margin. So both New Orleans and the Patriots, to your point, are just like sitting in the 30s.
And the Saints.
So like 41 looks low, but I have no problem pounding the under on that.
And the Saints have historically a good defense. So they had some short fields against Carolina. You look at the Carolina score. Wow, Carolina scored a lot of points and had a lot of passing yards, but it was a weird game for the Saints. They had a really good game. I think they came in a little cocky and arrogant. When you beat Rodgers like that, I don't know that you have the full attention of the coaching staff that next week. Them off a loss where they got gashed, this is a defensive game. This could be the first to 17, like 17-14, 20-17. And the money is already showing for that under. Like I said, 43 on the open, down to 41.5. And I wouldn't bet that over with Ricky's money.
He's got a lot of it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't.
After the G,
whatever you
baby.
Can, whatever. the pocket length that I'm pulling out of here.
Both Patriots and Saints top five defenses so far this year by EPA per play. So
see, yeah. Mikey's a numbers guy now after 2 weeks.
It's context. I don't know. I guess the only numbers that matter are the score. But you know, how do we get there? You know, it was context with it. You know that. That week one game against Green Bay, they scored 38 points, but that's a joke of a 38 that they scored.
Rodgers was just throwing the ball off.
Yeah, I mean, you play with short field position, you're going to score. So,
I think San Francisco is my favorite to wrap it up. San Francisco -3.5. I think that's my favorite bet.
Yeah, I think that'll be on our card this week. Sam, thank you for joining us as always, and thank you to everybody else for tuning in this week. This has been The Spread, Essence Football Picks Podcast. See you again next week. Bye.